For your journey in life, you need direction from the master. Get set, for the word you're about to hear is a roadmap out of every challenge into newness of life. Now, Apostle Jotham Obi Adams.
Praise God. See the last midweek service for April? Is that another? When is this month ending? Next week, Thursday or Wednesday? Wednesday. Okay, that means we have another midweek service. Hallelujah. Praise God. Matthew chapter 5, verse 9. Sorry, I don't know why I used to forget about our system on Wednesdays. Maybe so that we'll be opening our Bible. So that means we'll be opening his Bible. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 5, verse 9. But hope we are. Are we recording? Okay, Matthew 5, verse 9. Hallelujah. On Wednesdays, we have been on the Beatitudes. Hallelujah. Beatitude. You say Beatitude means the be attitude. That means the attitude you are supposed to be. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That means by now I should be seeing changes in our lives. Means. Hallelujah. 5 verse 9. We have looked at all the rest. And personally, it has really been overwhelming for me. Hallelujah. Seeing the multitude, he went up onto a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for there is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those that are crying, mourning, for they shall be comforted. Hallelujah. Can we say hallelujah? Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. For those that show me mercy, God will show you mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. That was what we looked at last week. Today, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Hallelujah. So verse 9 is our emphasis for today. Blessed are the peacemakers. Hallelujah. I believe after tonight you know whether you are a peacemaker or you are a quarrel maker. Or whether you are, or how do you make peace, or how do you reconcile peace. Hallelujah. Now, when you study your Bible, have you seen unresolved conflict between, you know, God is the one that gave us the Bible. Is that true? Now, are there issues that God has not yet made peace? Are there people that God has not yet made peace with? Are there personalities that God has not yet made peace with? They are still at trouble. Eh? Is there somebody like that? Are there people like that? Come on, all of us, hallelujah. This one is this. So, is there somebody in the Bible that God has not settled their quarrel? They are still quarreling till today. Is there anybody like that? Okay, some are here, some are here. Eh? The quarrel between God and Lucifer, have they settled? The misunderstanding between him and demons and his co-angels, have they settled? They are still at Luther. And this is the same person that is in place as the peacemakers. When you study the scripture, there are some apostles who quarrel with Barnabas so that they parted ways. I say maybe you didn't see this scripture. There are people that Apostle Paul say, I commit this one to the devil to show him and teach him. Have you read that scripture before? In fact, there was a place that Paul said that there are some people that should not wish them well. If you wish them well, you are God's enemy. So now with all this scripture, how can we reconcile the Bible saying, blessed are the peacemakers? See, that's why studying the word of God is very important, is that not? So what is really God saying, blessed are the peacemakers? Who is a peacemaker? And what is really peace in God's kingdom? Hallelujah. Because most of the things we call peace is not really peace. And what we really think to be peacemaking is not really peacemaking. And I believe God, you know, I like studying the word of God and understanding it and communicating. And today we have understanding. Hallelujah. Now to make peace means to resolve conflict, misunderstanding, and what they say, to restore bond breaches between God. God has made peace with men severally and between man to man. So, to have peace means to resolve conflict between God and man, man to man. Hallelujah. So conflict, misunderstandings means to have. So misunderstanding usually separate people, and then conflict separate people. But then when you make peace, that means you come together. And when you notice that the word making peace, peacemaker, is an action word. Is it a verb? That's a verb, right? That's a verb. Like, it's an action word. So let me tell us three facts about peacemaking in scripture. Now, these are where I want us to understand very well. God is a God of peace, serenity, and calmness. 2 Thessalonians 3 verse 16. And then Luke 19:38. Hallelujah. God is a God of peace. There is a scripture that he says something in 2 Thessalonians 3 verse 16. That's very, very striking. 2 Thessalonians 3 verse 16. God was talking terribly there. Anybody there? 360. Yes, ma'am. Is it King James? Okay, yes. Now, the Lord of peace himself. That means he himself is the Lord of peace. Yes, ma'am.
Give you peace always, by all means.
Now, this is very, very striking. Thank you, Mike. I sit down. Everybody now look at me. See, Bible says the Lord of peace himself give you peace by all means. If it means killing somebody to give you peace, he will kill that person. Is that not what by all means means? If it means by any means, that is the Bible. By all means, the God of peace will give us peace. That means if you are serving God, you are entitled to a life of peace. Now, peace doesn't necessarily mean after the trouble. I'll explain. Hallelujah. But by all means, God will give you calmness, serenity. You will have peace. Hallelujah. By all means. If it means killing somebody, he will kill. If it means inflicting any, doing anything, by all means. That is the God that we serve. And how many of us want that kind of peace? I want it so bad. Hallelujah. By all means. Number two, God is a peacemaker. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 19. And then Colossians chapter 1 verse 20. God is a peacemaker. Many times the children of Israel will sin, and they will never look towards God for help for anything. God will still go and look for them and say, let's settle our quarrel. Is that not true? Many times they will be angry, and they will say they don't make any effort towards God, but God keeps sending prophets, sending judges to reconcile them. He always advocated for peace to the people. I mean, it's not mind blowing. Look at me. Do you know, like, let's say this is the sun. All together, we have 9 planets. Let's say we have 3 big planets. The earth is like number 3. And then the whole earth, we have 7 continents. In the whole 7 continents, we have Nigeria. We have Africa. Then you now come to Africa, you come and choose Nigeria. Now come to choose Nigeria, you choose Kogi State. You now choose Kogi State, you choose phase 2. So imagine how you are a dot in the whole equation of life. Now, it's that same God that always, when you are wrong, he's the one that come and advocate, let's settle, let's have peace. Because he makes peace. Now, somebody as big as that will not, if you have a problem with the president, you are the one that will go and look for trouble. But God is the one that always come, and that is the kind of person he is. That is fundamental. I want us to understand. God is the one that like, he's a peacemaker. I like making peace. Hallelujah. And then, number three thing I want us to understand is, you cannot be at peace with all human beings. No matter how hard you try. Even God himself. Romans chapter 12 verse 18. Romans 12 18. The Bible says, As much as it lies within your power. Romans 12 18. Be at peace with all men. Is that correct? If it is possible, yes. As much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. That means God knows that it's not always possible. Is that not striking? Even God knows that it's not every human being. God knows that it's not everybody that will go to hell. Heaven, sorry. No matter how hard he tried. If God sent Jesus and Jesus died, he sent Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit died. He himself came himself and died. Some people will not still go to heaven. You understand me now? Some people will intentionally choose the devil. So that's why God said, if it is possible, live in peace. If there are angels in heaven, imagine, do you think God was unfair to angels? Do you think they don't get welfare allowance, or the weather is not nice, or what is wrong? In a perfect atmosphere like heaven, Lucifer did a Luther, rebelled. In a perfect garden like Eden, Adam and Eve didn't behave. So that is God now. Think about human beings. So God knows that it's not possible. So what is really peace? What is a peacemaker? Do you mean you should settle all your court and meet everybody, whether the person is, so we understand today, hallelujah. What is really peacemaking? Or what is really the mindset of God of peace? When God says, love your neighbor or love everybody, that means you cannot love the, you cannot love Lucifer. Can you love Lucifer? When God says, love everybody, can you love him? You cannot love, because you can say, well, the love you experience toward Lucifer is different. It's a different kind of love. Hallelujah. That means there's another love God is really talking about. So now, what is really peace? We cannot be at, so have that in mind, that not everybody you can be at peace with. And then number three, I want us to understand before I start is, when justice and righteousness prevails and rules, there is lasting peace. When there is true peace come when there is justice and righteousness. True peace. Please don't forget this. God told me this. I studied and I discovered this. God told me, then I studied and I discovered that true peace only exists when there is justice and righteousness. I will explain to you. I'm from the north. Hallelujah. In the north, what used to happen? You have heard of riot and wars in the north. Religious fight, that correct? Let me tell you what used to happen. What used to happen is, Christians have never started a war. If they have started, maybe it's extreme cases. If maybe 1 out of 100. It's maybe they have hit them and let us die. That's the low condition. They always start it. But when they start now and then, you want to start fighting, or they say, no, let peace reign. So they will calm down. They have assaulted you. And that is how it has kept. Now, that is not peace. That is not justice. The perpetrators are not being punished. The righteous is all. That is not peace. I don't know if you understand peace at all. When somebody is oppressing you, don't say, don't answer him, let peace reign. That is not peace. That is abuse. How would you get that, though? Let God open our mind, and I believe we understand. So, what is really peace? Somebody cannot be stealing from you. Somebody cannot be assaulting you constantly. And you say, no, let me not answer him. Let me keep quiet. That is not peace. That is even between persecution and abuse. I was thinking, man, I was thinking it was this Friday, I will share it. Hallelujah. But the difference between persecution, okay, it's next week Wednesday. That is next week Wednesday. Because the next beatitude is blessed are those that are persecuted for righteousness. There's difference between persecution. Oh, last week Wednesday is our conference. Let me do a power one. Hallelujah. There's difference between persecution and abuse. Let me give you a hint. Anybody that is persecuting and knows that what I'm doing is persecution is no longer persecution. You hear what I said? Anybody persecuting people and he knows that what I'm doing is persecution is no longer persecution. All through scriptures, people that kept persecuting the church never knew they were persecuting. Do you understand me now? So once somebody knows that what I'm doing is persecution, it's now abuse. Because persecution always is spiritual and people don't even know what they are doing. Bible says a time will come when people will think that killing you will be doing God the justice. So what they know what they are doing is no longer persecution, it's abuse. So you must know what is really peace. Once there is no true justice, a son and a daughter are quarreling, you oppress one and say, let peace reign, let somebody talk. A time will come when the one you have been oppressing will no longer take it. All together? So unless there is justice and righteousness, true peace never come. What is happening in Nigeria is not peace. It's just oppressing. We are suppressing it. Until true justice, once an act is done and then the perpetrators are punished, they say, don't allow the sleeping dog to rise. No. So true peace, there must be justice and righteousness. Are we getting that? Now, with that, I can say, now, how can you advocate for peace? How can you advocate for peace? Are you being blessed already? Are you understanding what I'm saying? Now, how can you advocate for peace? Number one is, before you look and reconcile for peace, let me tell you something. The Bible says, in Matthew chapter 10 verse 16, said that he has sent us in the midst of wolves, but we should be what? Wise as serpent, gentle as a dove. Your survival will be on your wisdom. Are you together? So now we are in the midst of wolves. Now we should know what is peace. Who should you really reconcile with? Who should you really come to good times? Should you come in good times with anybody? What? How do you reconcile peace? Now, if somebody is advocating for peace, you must discern genuine repentance and seeking. Because some people can make peace for the sake of getting you again and get your weak point again. I hope you know that. You used to watch movies now. People can just come and pretend and then get you and then get back to you. So you must discern that means I want us to settle our quarrel. You, I must be able to look at me now and discern whether what he's advocating for is genuine. You must be able to discern it. Hallelujah. Not everybody seeking for reconciliation is really looking for peace. So you must discern genuine forgiveness, genuine repentance, and genuine yearning for reconciliation. What is not there, maintain where you maintain your lane. Are we together? Now, what am I been saying? Have you ever heard it this way before? He's looking out of the box, is that right? But that is the truth. That is the truth. So ensure that it's genuine repentance. That is why I told you that. Bible says you must be wise as believers. You must be wise. It's not everything that we are suffering that God is the one causing it. It's because of our foolishness sometimes. Sometimes we open the door for the devil to do what he wants to do. The Bible says the children of this generation are wiser in their generation than you. We are not smart to discern what is wrong. And then we open the door for them again and again and again and again and again. Somebody can come and give the church 3 times. Say, it's a brother, let's take him to the fold. You need to be wise. How do you get that? People can come to your leadership and corrupt everybody and say, it's a brother. No, we need to be very, very wise and discerning. Number two thing is, discern when you are advocating for peace, discern the consequences of war or peace. That means, if I don't reconcile with this person, of course, there is war. What is the consequence of the war? If I reconcile now, there is peace. What is the consequence? Now, what we are saying is we have pros and cons. So you measure, you weigh which one you prefer. All together. If I continue with this battle, what is the consequence? Sometimes it's about that the consequence can be very detrimental. So let's just settle. Is that true? Yes. So sometimes when you weigh the disadvantage of war, you will really advocate for peace. So weigh the consequence of war and then of course the consequence of peace. Number three, choose to walk in love towards all men, including your enemies. Remember Luke chapter 6 verse 28. Can we read it? Luke 6 28. Choose to walk in peace. Luke 6 28. The Bible says, bless them that curse you. Somebody say hallelujah. And pray for them which despitefully use you. Now, you know you are not holier than God. Is that correct? I want us to read the word of God. Let somebody help us read it. Now, when they say bless those who curse, does it mean be there? Must you be there when you are blessing the person? So you can leave and be blessing from far. Is that what the Bible says? No, let's read. The Bible says bless them. No, somebody can say I want to be there. I remain there as the thing is happening. You have to be wise. It not say remain, just blessing. The next one is the word.
And pray for those
now they are peacefully using you and abusing. The Bible says pray, not stay, not relate, not associate. But Christian will relate, associate, and remain there. Bible says pray. Now this is not directly from the Bible. It's not extra revelation. Is that correct? The word is pray for them. I can be in the kingdom and be praying for them in Abuja. You can run and leave the place, leave the abuse, leave the quarrel, and be praying where you are. Your responsibility is to pray. Are we together? So walk in love. You can walk in love. You walk, like I said earlier on, when God said love everybody, including your enemy, love those them. That is the kind of love you express towards your enemy. It's not the same kind of love you express towards your wife, your children, and your everything. It cannot be the same kind of love. That is the kind of love you express towards your enemies. Staying away from them is a dimension of love. Hallelujah. Oh, we know that. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. Not envying them is a sign of love. It does not boast. Not being proud. It's not proud and it's not rude. Not being rude to them is love. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrong. Love does not delight. These are characteristics of love. But believers today have turned the characteristics. That's the Bible says. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrong. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always hope, always trusts, always perseveres. Now, this is direct from the Bible. Characteristics of love. So that means not giving malice or not giving record is a sign of love. So you must understand what is love towards your enemy. Does it mean being in their vicinity, condoling their indecency and inordinate actions? Or what? So we need to understand what is love towards your enemy. So that you really know who to be around your life. Hallelujah. When you hear a pastor say, choose your companies, and then another pastor come and say, love every human being, you need to understand what they are saying. You can be with everybody, but you may not relate with everybody. And you still love them. Genuinely. Number four way of advocating peace is avoid misunderstanding when necessary. Proverbs 26 verse 17. Avoid misunderstanding when necessary. Proverbs 26 verse 17. Proverbs 26 verse 17. Now, anybody that is passing, say, hey, just passing, yes. And then she just saw me and Ebere just having misunderstanding. And then she just say, okay, what is the problem now? Let me settle. And then meddle in a quarrel that is not its own. Yes. Is somebody that is taking a dog by the tail. That means it will definitely bite you. One of the things the Bible says that is learn to mind your word. Mind your business. This one, the way she's working, said, mind your business. This one, how will a guy marry this kind of lady? Mind your business. Is that not true? Mind your business. So the Bible says one of the ways to avoid misunderstandings and unnecessary. Now, don't forget what I said is avoid misunderstanding when necessary. There are times that you cannot avoid misunderstanding. Example, now I'm preaching on tithe. Some people say that is controversial. I cannot avoid that misunderstanding. I have to continue. That misunderstanding must be there. Come on, are we together? There are some misunderstanding that you cannot avoid. There are some controversial issues that you cannot avoid. You must say them. So when necessary, avoid some unnecessary misunderstanding. Don't meddle in things that should not be meddling in. Unnecessary talks. By that, you will be at peace. You will avoid a lot of toes. Are we together? Are we together? So, avoid. I remember Prophet Makandiwa. He said that the way to win a battle that is not your own. I've said it here once. How do you do it? How do you win a battle that is not your own? By what? Yes, you are saying the question. What did you say? By what? By not fighting. That is the best strategy. If I'm not fighting, it's not your battle. So the best way to not to just avoid, just don't stay there. You go and now they are talking about Sister Ebere. Sister X, talking about Sister Ebere. When you are there, you join them, you are part of the misunderstanding already. You are part of the trouble already. Have you ever been in a situation where there's certain gossip issue before? And then they say, this person was there, and then all the people present, they'll call them. And you dignified person. Because you were there, by being there, you implicated. My sister, I remember told me one experience that she has, from that day, she has vowed. Anytime they are talking, she will leave the place. They call on them. You said, did you say this? Somebody of 35, 34, like a small child. Did you say it? Yes, like a baby. Go ahead, sisters. Oh. All of them, they have a PhD in that area. Just avoid it. Aliyah, anything that, what you are there, they're talking about, just leave. By that, you avoid the trouble that will emanate from that in the future. All together? Nobody's worth discussing. Nobody's worth discussing. Hallelujah. And then number five, finally, is learn how to walk on common ground with people or on neutral ground. Matthew chapter 17, from verse 25 to 27. Learn how to walk on common grounds. And neutral grounds with people. Learn how to walk with. In Matthew chapter 17, verse 25 to 27, was the story of Jesus was challenged on how to pay tithe, to pay taxes to Caesar. I don't know if you remember the story, right? And then Jesus said, who pay taxes? Are they strangers or dwellers in the city? Dwellers should not pay tax. But so that we will not offend them, so that we will avoid trouble, so that we will live in peace, Go and pay. You see me now? Now, I know very well, let's say I know very well that Sister Ebere doesn't believe in wearing her tie. You see me now? Then now, I'll just come to her. I believe in wearing a tie. I know that that is her ground. I don't believe in it. Wisdom demands that for us to exist and coexist peacefully, we look for a common ground that she is okay with, I am okay with, and we relate on that ground. Do you understand that explanation? You must learn how to walk on neutral ground with people. Once you know somebody stand on something and you know that you have presented your stand, and repeating your stand often will cause misunderstanding, look for neutral ground and relate with people on that neutral ground. Look for it. When you look at, have you ever seen a picture of Daddy Adeboye and his wife? And a picture of Pastor Oyedepo and his wife? Have you ever seen a picture like that? Have you ever seen their wives? Did you see some differences? Stunning differences. But this is his spiritual father, and they still relate peacefully. And you, one member in one local village, are busy quarreling, struggling, and insulting for nothing, while the head are in peace. Is that not the truth? See, Mommy Faith, complete makeup. Mary Kay, Mary G, all the Marys. Hair fixed. Designer standard. Well dressed. That is what Bishop Oyedepo, that Oyedepo is the way God made you. And they are relating peacefully. So they have a neutral ground that they are relating on. So forget our difference. This is what we relate. So they relate on that ground. If every day they keep talking about the same issue, they will have misunderstanding. Hope you know that. So learn to look for common ground in relating with people. Learn to look with common ground and relate with people. So I gave us 5 ways of advocating for peace and settling peace. Number one, I said, was what? Enjoy genuine repentance, reconciliation, and forgiveness. Yes. Number two was what? Discern the consequences of war and peace. Yes. Number three. Yes, choose to love with Paul. And then I explained that. Number four, I said, was what? Avoid misunderstanding when necessary. And then learn how to walk on common ground, on neutral ground with people. Now, what are the steps in peacemaking? Now, this is very, very important. Remember, we are looking at the peacemakers. There are steps to peacemaking. The first step is, seek to know God's will concerning the matter. Should I make peace with this person? Should I reconcile our problem? Hope you know there may be people that God intentionally took out of your life. Hey, the way Barry answered, that means it's very, very true. This point is true. You're from the Lord. Hallelujah. Yes. There are people that God is the one that caused the quarrel. If this person, I was listening to a prophecy by Pastor Suleiman recently, he said that he was talking to one of the pastors. He said, change your phone numbers. Let the people not even be able to reach you. That means there are people that it is God that caused the quarrel, the fight, and the separation. Don't go and water a plant that should die. Don't go and reconcile a quarrel that should be, that the quarrel should continue. Let pathways. You don't have the person, you wish the person well, but we cannot be together as friends. All together? There are some relationships that may part. It is God that parted the quarrel. It was God that revealed the situation. So what is God's will? God, should I make peace with XYZ? What is your will concerning it? So you don't go and build something that God wants to destroy. All together? I remember I listened to Benny Hinn one time. He was praying and somebody, he was ministering, and somebody in the congregation was crying, sobbing, a minister, crying and sobbing. He said, this one must be taught. He really genuine. He went there to lay hands on him. God said, don't lay your hands on him. God, he was shocked. why now? See, I've rejected him. So I tell you the remaining part of the story. Why did God reject him? Did I tell you? I won't tell you. Go and read the book. Hallelujah. So you must learn to know. You must learn to know God's will concerning the issue. Hallelujah. Learn to know. So I tell you, go and read the book. When you read it, you see. Good morning, Holy Spirit. Welcome, Holy Spirit. Read those two books. You see the story there. Are we together? Good morning, Holy Spirit. Welcome, Holy Spirit. And then the blood. Read these three books, you'll see the story. Praise God. Yes. So know why God Not what is God's stand. Whether should you make peace or not. Please, this, see what I'm telling you now is wisdom. And it's the word of God. Number two, don't go and be making peace now. We are free and peacemaker. I'm a peacemaker. Everybody, call so carry your phone now. Everybody, you have been having. Oh God, I want us to let's put the past behind and let's go together. We must know God's will first. All together, please. Very wise. Number two step is take actions towards peacemaking and peace seeking terms. Matthew chapter 18 verse 15, and then Matthew 5:23-24. Matthew 18:15. Now, once you know that it is God's will for you to make peace with, hallelujah. Matthew 18:15. Yes, ma'am. Yes. Go and tell him between you and him. If he hears. Yes, ma'am. Thank you, ma'am. That means take action. Go on. Now, there are people that you must always be at peace with. All together. Example, your father, your mother. Baba, no matter what they do, God cannot separate the two of you. Let me know. Even if God is separating you, maybe it's because of the point, you must maintain peace. Like, you may not be related because of anything, but there must be peace. There are people that your peace with them is constant. All together. So you must very, very be wise. I'm not saying now, you're not saying. I offended one pastor somewhere and say, maybe it's not God's will. No. There are, like, pastor, parent, mentors. There are people that your peace with them must be constant. Are we together at all? Yes, the Lord just dropped that in my spirit now. So, take action. Once you notice that you should make peace with a misunderstanding somewhere, take a conscious action and go and meet them and say, I'm sorry. Bible says, meet the person. Don't assume. Send a message. Make a call. Make a visit. Communicate that you desire peace. Bible says, if it doesn't agree, take somebody. If you take somebody and the person doesn't go with him, go to the church. If it doesn't refuse, declare him as a vagabond. That's what the Bible says. Declare him as an unbeliever, a proper unbeliever. Who does he think he is? Is that correct? That's what the Bible says. So talk with the person. Desire terms of peace. Call them. Send them a message. I say, I'm sorry. If you need to apologize, apologize. Hallelujah. And it's always mature. It's the mature people more that look for peace. All together. Say, if you are in a relationship and then the person that's always advocating for peace is more mature than the other person. Irrespective of the sex. Only mature, really mature people. It's only arrogant, ignorant people. I say, you understand my action? No, I'm not. Who does he think he is? Who does he think she is? I'm not. That is childishness. Mature people seek for peace. Hallelujah. Number three. Because just imagine if you are having trouble now. In secondary school, you fought with 10 of your classmates. University, 20 of your classmates. When you came to NYSC 15. As NYSC, you are coming out. One day you go to market, you see somebody you are fighting with. You go to bank, you see somebody. You go to. That will be your life. So that means mature people start to live with peace. That's what the Bible says. At the most alive, they like to live in peace. That is the proper kinds of peace. Hallelujah. Yes, number three is be sincere on your terms of peace. Don't fake it. Matthew chapter 5 verse 7. Be genuine that you really want to make peace. Hallelujah. Don't fake it. Matthew 5:37 is the text for that. You can be sincere that you want to make peace. Don't go and talk to somebody. Let's reconcile for the sake of reconciling. Because there are people that even after reconciling, it looks as if they didn't really change. But let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay. For whatsoever is more than this. Son of God. Hallelujah. Let your yes be your yes. I am sorry mean I am sorry. I want us to be at peace. Yes. I know you understand people reconciling and then even after the reconciliation, things are the same. You understand what I'm talking about? So, sorry. Be sincere concerning your terms of peace. And then, number four, finally, don't discuss your reconciliation with the third party. Once you make peace with somebody, never discuss your condition with the third party. You know what Sheye did to me? It was just because of God. Look at what she did. X, Y, Z. And then you are telling Bro Simon now. This is what she did. Are you together? Now the Bible says, whatsoever is true, whatsoever is good, whatsoever is of good report, think about this thing. These are the things that should be on your mind. Now, what you are saying, is it true? It's true. Is it a good report? It's not a good report. That means don't discuss it. It is true, it has made the first condition positive. But the secondary condition is it of a good report? Is it not a good report of the other person? Then don't discuss it. Because there are people that make peace and then once they hear the story somewhere, it's part of another misunderstanding again. It's part of. So you really told this person, You know, they say, I saw one chat one day. When a guy tells a guy, don't tell anybody you, he dies with the second guy. But then I saw another one, ladies, don't tell anybody, okay. This one will tell two people. This one will say, okay, okay. This one will tell two people, okay, okay. And then before you know, we have is that true, ladies? Yes, yes. The public said, you know, she told me this thing. It's because it's you, means I wouldn't have told you. That's the truth. Don't tell anybody, you. Then I'll tell me. Many also come and meet prof. Say, prof, it's only you. You know, because I know you now. I know you are mature. You can handle this information. Apostle told me X, Y, Z. Don't tell anybody, you. Then prof will go and meet Simon now. Simon, see. You're a Christian. Promise you won't tell anybody. But even promise me. Promise me now. I promise you. Okay. Then I will tell the person. Before you know the issue, don't. Once you reconcile and make peace, it dies there. Hallelujah. Now these are not things I read or I studied. I God said them to me, and I believe it's the truth. As I studied, because it's the truth. Hallelujah. The first is know what is God's will. Number two is take action when you need to, and then be sincere about it, and then don't discuss. Now, after that, what are the benefits of peacemaking? I discovered that there were 35, hallelujah, I couldn't even write it down. All together, there are 35 physiological benefits, 43 psychological benefits, and 21 spiritual benefits of making peace. 35 physiological, 43 psychological, and 23 biblical spiritual benefit of living in peace. What I mean by physiological is, I read a book one time. What's the title of the book? It's by the Christian medical doctor. He was explaining that bitterness causes arthritis. It causes kidney disease. Or is it something? Is it true? I forgot the title of the book. I think it was last year. Hallelujah. Yeah, so physically, once you have peace, your blood can flow easily. Your health, it takes more nerves to frown your face. And then less, and then the more frown, that means the palm is higher. And even if somebody angry and his beating heart, his heart is even affected by the anger. There are 35 physiological, just physical benefit of being in peace. I never see somebody, Bible say, when you're angry with somebody, just see the person, you just become angry. Have you ever had that kind of experience? So by seeing the person on his own, no. remember one childhood story they told me. You know, boys, now we used to fight. If you have brothers and sisters, you fought with them when you are growing up. Let me see your hands up. Okay, only one person. I can share my story. There are many people like me here. So we were fighting with my elder sister. So one day they looked for my trouble, and then when I stood in the corner, the trouble has finished. Still later, I said, I beat you. On my own, no. I was the thing it will affect you physically. Then psychological, psycho means, have you ever heard of psychosomatic sickness? Emotional sicknesses. Over 70% of sicknesses are emotional problems. How together? Pains. So there are 35, 43 psychological. You will be more creative. You will be able to concentrate more. There are a lot of benefit emotionally by living in peace with everybody. You understand me now? So imagine living in a roommate, we're having a roommate that you're in quarrel. I believe you have had that kind of experience. Tension in the room. You have to test it. You don't know whether you'll be angry. Just leave it. And do this. I know none of us have quarreled before. The way you're looking at me, as if you have never quarreled. Imagine, it affects you emotionally. You'll not be free in the room. Tension. Psychologically, like your emotion is affected. What we know that you cannot. Have you met people that ladies cannot read? Why? You broke my heart. Even some brothers suicide. No, it's not a common suicide. No. Only a few brothers, 1 in 100 suicide. They cannot function again. That is the way the danger of quarrel and misunderstanding. Affect you psychologically. All together. Yes. Have you ever been preaching? Let's say you're supposed to give a presentation, and then you have somebody in the audience you're having quarrel with. Your eye will be avoiding this direction. True, yes. that you will not even be able to concentrate. That is why nobody's in my mind, though. Like, I have to be free. Hallelujah. And then there are 21 spiritual problems. Once you are at peace, you saw. Hallelujah. 21. You know, I cannot write to 21 benefits here. I cannot write to 43. But you know that there are multiple. Like just these examples that I gave. When I saw the list, I said, no, I cannot write this one on my note. Hallelujah. And I believe you people are studying. You study and get them more. So how many of us want to live in peace with all men? And how many understand what is really peacemaking? Do you understand clearer now? I mean, it's not everybody just go about settling. Look, what is God's will? Now, it's God's will that you be at peace with everybody as most aligned with you. That means if you look for somebody's trouble, it's different from when you look for somebody. If you're the one that look for somebody's trouble, not just people are good. Your enemies will die. They like say amen, but forget that they themselves, they are somebody's enemy. You know, that's the problem with church people. Your enemy will die. Amen. In the church, the people, some third person say amen is an enemy to somebody. And if you're a member in that church, that means you are also praying for your death. That is the truth. Anybody that is not doing this, I say, yes, it's true. They're wicked. Not you too. You might do it to somebody lower than you. So now, let me balance the equation now. In case you're the one that look for somebody's trouble, go and reconcile, apologize. How do you get that? Now the piece I'm talking about in all people is people looking for your trouble. But it is possible for you. You don't look for anybody's trouble. That one is possible. How do you get that? That is possible that you don't look for anybody's trouble. If you look for it, you don't know. And when it is brought to you, you apologize. It is possible to apologize to everybody you are wrong to. All together? Yes. So that one is possible. So I believe we understand what is peacemaking now. And as we put that in the attitude, that is an extra beatitude now. Today, Prof came and made me suddenly quarrel. Some of our neighbors, I was in the room. I said, okay, thank God my sermon today is peace. Let's go and settle. Peace. All together. Just make peace. So anytime you see somebody that doesn't know, share them. Peacemakers share this kind of knowledge. Share knowledge with them. Settle this thing. And then as you are trying to settle them, discern the ones that God wants you to settle. So everybody that God is leading you to settle. Hallelujah. You hear me now? You hear that this person relationship and this one broke. God may not be leading you necessarily to settle. If God did not lead you, don't go. All together. Don't go and join what God has not joined together. The Bible says what God has joined together. So if God has not joined, don't go and join. I believe God will help us all in the name of Jesus Christ. I know everybody need to make peace with somebody. Ask somebody to go and make peace with. You look for somebody's trouble. Let me see your hands up. Nobody here. Okay, only one. Hallelujah. And all of us. We go and look for peace. I have somebody who will settle peace today after this service. Praise God. I believe God will help us all in Jesus' name. Can we appreciate God for his word and say, Father, we thank you. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for your word. We give you all the praise. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Hallelujah. Can we ask for grace? Father, Lord, any misunderstanding in our life that need to be settled, give us the wisdom and the discernment to settle them. Any misunderstanding that need to be corrected, that need to be settled in our life, anywhere around us, grant us the grace. In Jesus' precious name. I believe it is well with us in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I declare that any misunderstanding, any area of your life that needs peace, the Bible says the Lord our God, the God of peace himself, will give us peace by all means. Anywhere there is perturbedness, there is disturbance, there is chaos, anywhere there is misunderstandings in our life, I pray that the peace of God overshadow your life. May peace go upon your mind and settle it in the name of Jesus. It is well in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God.
The compass you need has just been delivered into your hands. You can get all the anointed messages on our Telegram channel at Shekinah Encounter Center Sermons. For more inquiries, you can also call 080-6522-6276 or 080-2611-2114. Remain rapturable.